It's time to lose your Sundance virginity. Welcome to the Film Threat Podcast. I'm Chris Gore, joined by the Film Threat team here in Park City, Utah, which I'm sitting actually with three Sundance virgins. Three Sundance virgins, including Anthony Ray Bench.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, Anthony's here. Matthew Passantino.
Barely. Hello.
Matthew Passantino. You can read his reviews on the Film Threat website. And Tom Bennett.
All the way from Boston.
All the way from Boston. My friend, doc filmmaker. His first time at Sundance. And you guys are Sundance virgins. So what... For a second, let me just tell you my first Sundance experience. It was a much different Sundance. Joe Carnahan, actually, who was sort of this up-and-coming filmmaker at the time. This is like 1996 or 7.
Yeah, you've been saying 7 all day.
97. Mm-hmm. I only say that because I have an old sweatshirt that says Sundance 97, and I still have it to today. So Joe Carnahan was friends with another buddy of mine, Leon Korkus. And Leon's like, hey, you should go to Sundance. I'm like, all right, I'll go. And it's like, well, I don't really have a place for you to stay, but you can sleep on the floor of this condo. So Joe Carnahan was there with his wife and kids, and they got the master bedroom, and everyone else just slept on the floor. And it was, I didn't care. Like, we all had, like, sleeping bags, and it was just a bunch of people on the floor. So things have changed since then. I mean, Sundance is a bigger festival. The premieres are, I mean, they're make or break. Now you've got streaming. There are brands. I mean, as we were driving down Main Street today, we saw all these brands. I mean, everything's about, there's the DirecTV Lounge, the AT&T Suite, it's everything.
You know? It's kind of like a lodge.
Yeah.
Yes, it's turned exactly into Comic-Con. But going around the horn here, like, what are your guys' impressions as virgins? What do you expect to see, your expectations, and how do you plan to lose your Sundance virginity? How is that going to happen?
Well, what I plan to see is I got a couple, like, I think might be, like, the big splashy ones I want to see, but then I'm going for some of the foreign and docs. And
like what? Like, give us some, tell us.
I'm
tell
really us. Looking forward to it. So I didn't look up a lot of synopsis.
Synopses?
Synopsi.
I didn't look up just because I kind of want to, like, be surprised, but this one I did, it's like set in like one like confined location. It's called The Guilty. It's a Danish movie. I'm really excited for that one. And then a lot of us are talking about the Robin Williams one because I will just sit there and weep because Robin Williams is the best.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that documentary I think is a hot ticket. In fact, I tried to get one and could not.
I'm going to a press screening.
Right, just any way to get to see it.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, Tom, what about yourself in terms of like, because I remember when I said this to you, like, I know it's on your bucket list. What do you think about going to Sundance? And you thought about it for a second.
You know, like, first time, you know, first times for anything are interesting, right? Because you always get the jitters. You know, you're always afraid you're going to do something
really bad, yeah,
stupid, and you're going to make it, you know, it's not going to, it's going to be like, you're going to have this weird relationship with it going forward and stuff like that. So it's weird because, like, I've been to a lot of film festivals, but mostly smaller kind of, you know, not nearly as name. I think the biggest one that I've been to is the Camden International Film Festival, right? So this was really super intimidating because I just felt like, you know, the scope and the quality of the material and stuff was just going to be bigger and better than anything I've ever experienced. And just trying to get into the one, you know, because when I went through the program and I started reading, you know, what's the buzz, you know, there was a lot of things to get excited about, but I couldn't get tickets for, you know, some of the bigger ones, but I think I got a pretty good itinerary planned. So,
well, just to comment on what you said, I think it's really interesting because you really drew kind of a sexual analogy to that in a way, subtle about it. But here's where that is actually very insightful because I think the first time we can attest to that we all had sex, it was awful, right? It was just sort of like, is that, it's not, does anyone have a sexual experience where it's like, that was the greatest thing ever the first time I did it? No, because you have no idea. So I kind of feel like we've all seen movies before. But we've never seen movies. You know, when you're actually with someone that you connect with, where there's an intimacy, where you feel you actually have feelings for that person, and suddenly sex is different in a way that you never expected, where you it erases that first awkward time. That's what it's like seeing a movie at Sundance. It's like, oh my God, not only am I seeing a movie, I'm falling in love. Right. Because you see it in the context of it's the mountain air. You've got the filmmakers there in attendance. Their lives are on the line. There's a palpable energy in the room that cannot be described unless you've been to one of these screenings. And I know that, Matthew, you're going to be going to a lot of the press screenings and whatnot. Yep. You have to go to one of the premieres. I insist.
I'm working on it.
It's going to happen. So, and Tom, yourself, and Anthony, you need to go to that. In fact, well, you're going tonight, hopefully. So.
Yeah, I'm going to be at the...
You as well, but like it's like that. It's like it's different. You see a movie in the theater, it's one thing. You pay your money, you sit down, you're with a crowd of strangers, whatever. You're in a crowd of people that you're having a conversation. You're going to be with a crowd of people where you're in line, and you're going to see some of the same people in line. You're going to like, dude, did you see the like, oh my God, it's just, I was so moved, and like, You're here with a community of people who love film, who love art, who are committed to it, and it is a completely different experience than seeing a movie in any other form. Anthony, what are your expectations for yourself in losing your so-called Sundance virginity?
First of all, it was a bucket list item of mine too.
That's exactly how I put it too.
Yeah, it's something I always wanted to go to. To be honest, driving around the street and just checking everything out, I thought it'd be a lot bigger, and that kind of put me to ease a little bit. Like, I think it's going to be like manageable, at least like walking from place to place a little bit more than I thought.
Walking and or taking the mass transportation, the buses, which actually work great. Once you get to know the bus routes, piece of cake.
Mm-hmm. But as far as seeing movies, like I purposely, you know, it's just like Matt said, like I barely looked at the synopsis. Mm-hmm. I looked.
Well, I would defend that because if you read the synopses are purposely written to not tell you much about the movie. And I love that they do that.
Yeah, I noticed that too. And the thing of it was, is that I wanted to try to get a sense of, you know, what the buzz that was building around the festival, but I didn't want to get too caught up in that.
Yeah.
But the other thing is the other thing I think that's intimidating about this experience for the first time is the mystique. You know, it's like, this is sort of the grandfather of all independent film festivals, at least in the US. I mean, there was other film festivals before this, obviously, but this is what got the whole independent movement started.
The one that everybody talks about.
Exactly.
Everybody knows. And there's like my grandma knows about what Sundance is.
There's just a legendary kind of mystique around it. And you know, you can't help but feel the hair on the back of your neck go up the first time you drive into Park City and start seeing all the excitement. So it's really cool.
So you are actually, Anthony and Matthew, you're going to see your first screening at the Eccles Theater.
Yes.
Okay, let me just give, first of all, I personally believe it's the best screening venue at Sundance. It's the largest screening room. The projection is fantastic. Delicious snacks may be had in the lobby. I recommend, it's interesting because when Roger Ebert was with us, and he's a hero of mine just growing up as a kid, I just love Roger Ebert. He had a seat that he always sat in the back. He always sat in the same seat. It was like in the back, but kind of like this sort of slightly in. He had like, that was his seat. It was never marked. It was never like, you know, reserved for Roger Ebert, but everybody knew like, oh no, that's Roger's seat. But what was cool about it was, is he would sort of hold court after screenings. So you'd be walking out and Roger would sit there and he'd get in a conversation because somebody either disagreed with him or had a point to make. And Roger'd be like, you know, just like passionately discussing the film. And so you could always, you know, you could always just sort of walk out of the Eccles and he would be there. So it's kind of sad that he's no longer with us, but I will
say. Did they do some kind of memorial with that chair? Or?
I'm not sure, actually.
They should.
Not sure. I should inquire. But I would suggest that on in the Eccles, it's one of those theaters that this is so smart where they put the distance between the front row and the actual screen is large enough that if you sit in the front row, you're not craning your neck to see anything. And additionally, the talent, the filmmakers, producers, people involved will all come to the very front for a Q&A. So I do suggest that if you get seating, try to get front row to slightly to the right of the screen, and you'll have a great seat for the Q&A after. Eccles is one of my favorite. And also, it's one of the ones where I've gotten the most conversations in line. So when you're waiting for screenings, which I can't wait for the for the Mr. Rogers documentary.
Yeah, that's going to be some fun. Yeah, we got fun times.
Yes, that is going to be a fun film for us to discuss.
Because Mr. Rogers is part of everybody's childhood. Like, I don't know one person that just doesn't have a fondness for that character.
I have a t-shirt that it's got Fred Rogers and it says, "I wore cardigans before they were cool." It's like one of my favorite t-shirts.
But it's interesting, just sort of like, this is my first time back at Sundance since 2013. And just walking through, I ran into David and Nathan Zellner, the Zellner brothers, who made one of my favorite short films. It's probably on YouTube, so I'll just tell you the name of it. It's called Foxy and the Weight of the World. And in the entire short film, it's a guy who's kind of a brute and kind of a he's just a jerk who is dying, and he's giving his dying words and giving his life advice to his very cute dog as he's dying. That's the whole movie. And it's one of the best short films ever. Never forgot it. The Zellner brothers, as they're known.
Sounds familiar. Do they have a movie coming up?
Yeah, there's a movie coming. That's what I'm saying. They're here. They also have another feature film. So we'll talk about that in a few. But in fact, we're trying to get the Zellner brothers to be on the show. So rather get them to come back and talk about their
movie. Yeah, we recorded them.
Yeah, and yeah, we need to record them later. Yeah. Look, we're going to be doing this every day, right? We're going to be debriefing our experiences. So, but I ran into them. I ran into some other filmmakers who made one of the episodic Mortified.
Yeah, that sounded really compelling.
It sounded really interesting. And what's so funny is I completely forgot that I already talked to that producer of the episodic show Mortified, who got in touch with me because he heard, and this is, I had made like some weird Super 8 movies of my high school girlfriend. And they're like, now I look at them and they're humiliating and embarrassing to see. And he goes, "Oh my God, you got to like talk about it and we'll show them." It's basically, he films a live show where people do things like read diary entries from when they were like 11 years old or whatnot. And I know the Pubell twins who are actually in the first episode they're going to screen. So it's really interesting that episodic has made it. You know, we talked about Paint on the last episode. So it's interesting that episodic content has, you know, made its way into Sundance.
Well, you made the comment earlier, you thought it was really a function of the quality of episodic just kind of going up, right? So
I mean, how many of us, DVRs are full or we have multiple subscriptions to
I just stream. Well, that's all I do. Yeah.
Netflix, Hulu, you kind of got to have basic, right, Kate? Because to get others, then you have to have HBO. Like, how many of these services do you have to have? It really is pretty much the same as what we used to pay. It's a matter of, like, who's going to give me, like, for example, I have your Hulu code.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to give you whatever my, one. You have one of my codes, right?
You ain't giving me dick yet.
I'll give you a code. I'll give you my movies anywhere.
There's been no trade-off between this.
There will be codes exchanged. But we're going to, Tom and myself and my buddy John Branstetter, we're going to head out to Main Street. We're going to go to a couple of parties. If anything interesting happens, I'll record it. You guys are going to go to the Echo Theater and see a movie. It's first night at Sundance. Because you guys are virgins, do we need nicknames? Do we need like a bad 80s, I've got to
like
lose
virgin
my...
virgin nickname?
Yeah, like...
Cherry and...
I don't know.
No. It's like movie prom night.
I don't know.
Movie prom night.
Cheesecake, Hagrid, and Money Man. I don't know what's my
fuck
nickname.
You and your Hagrid.
What Hagrid? I don't know what. I'm just thinking of dumb nicknames like Animal House, you know, which is a movie that would never be made today. That movie would never. If you watch that movie Animal House, first of all, there's some stuff that just, you know, there's some racist stuff in it that scene just feels totally off. And then the near date rape in it is also kind of that movie. There are movies that have not aged well. That's a whole other conversation that's been happening in town. Cause we ran into, who did I run into from NPR? We were sitting at Wasatch Brewery and we were talking to a woman.
From NPR. Nina Gray.
Nina Gregory.
Nina Gregory.
Nina Gregory from NPR just happened to be at the table next to us. She saw my bag because it had like my name on it and she remembered Film Threat. So we got in this. Then the whole lunch turned into this whole conversation just about movies, what's happening. And like Harvey Weinstein will never come to Sundance again. He will never be here in Park City. And just sort of how things are different. But I'm excited to do check-in. So end of the night, let's do a check-in. And we're going to be doing this every day. Gathering material, interviews, party reports. I want to hear how the screening went. Wait, what movie are you guys seeing?
I'm seeing The Private Life.
The Private Life.
Or Private Life. Just Private Life.
Yep, I'm going with them.
Yeah. You can, you can get snuck in. Matthew, I have faith in you. I have faith in you.
I'll sneak you in my backpack.
Just, perfect.
You
know. And Tom, we may end up, it's weird because I like to have a plan for Sundance and then I mm-hmm. like to just deviate from that plan. But we have specifically some parties, the Legion M Lounge.
Yep.
There's a Canon has a lounge that we're going to. There's a couple other people.
Because I am a camera nerd. I love cameras.
Yeah. Like yeah. With that, we got to definitely check in. We got to see my buddy, David E. Williams from American Cinematographer Magazine. You got a great guy who was a former Film Threat guy, like in the 90s. This is a guy who worked on the print magazine. The print magazine, as I have said before, to explain to some of our younger listeners, is just like the internet, but on really thin slices of wood. So, all right, let's reconvene. Let's reconvene. We'll talk movies and we'll talk how our evening went.
And we're back from the screening of Private Life. Matt, what did you think?
I thought it was okay. I'll say pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought Paul Giamatti and Catherine Hahn, they're always great, and they were really great in this. But
yeah, I don't think there are any weak characters. Like,
no.
I think the structure of the film is really where it kind of fell apart for me.
Well, 2-hour movie has never felt like 2.5, 240 like it did with this.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know if it's been, you know, day of traveling and if my so I when once it gets out, because Netflix is distributing it, so once it gets on Netflix, I'd like to give it another shot and see what I think.
Yeah, you guys seem a little low energy for this. It wasn't like it was a triumphant moment. Like,
well, it wasn't a triumphant movie.
Right. Well, I saw your post and it was just like, seeing my first film at Sundance. And then, like, I talked to you after and you were just like, we're tired. Right. Well, it was because the traveling from the day before.
Yeah, and, you know, the plot of the movie is a couple are trying to conceive, and literally we see them try everything in this movie. We see them try everything twice, and it gets repetitive to the point where, I mean, the audience is, I'm sure, supposed to feel exhausted and supposed to feel kind of drained, like the characters they're watching are. But that doesn't really work for a movie. Like, doesn't really.
Well, are you saying
nothing satisfying about it at the end? Yeah,
are you saying it's not as fun as some of the stuff that happened in Mother? So
I'm the only person who walked out of Mother went, whatever.
Well, didn't you kind of forewarn that opening night movies were?
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Okay.
I am of the opinion that the opening night movies at Sundance are always pretty weak. You know, it's always like it's always going to have big actors in it, but it's also going to be something that's, you know, going to be like on Netflix.
Yeah. Right. Well, so that's what it was. It's a Netflix movie.
Exactly. Which is great. Except I have Netflix, but I'm here in Park City, Utah. Yeah. So what is the best? I mean, it's the thing we talked about this actually on the drive here. I said, here is your biggest challenge for Sundance in Park City. And this is also something that, you know, you could actually apply this to life, is it's all time management. It's all time management. Is what is your best use of your time, right? Is it to see this movie that you know you can see on Netflix? Or is it one of those things where is it, you know, to spend a time doing a podcast now? Because there was a choice. You were like, I'm going to write this review because the review's got to get on the website. But I'm like, or you could do a podcast. But I think Tom and I had a very different experience, which is why maybe we're a little more high energy. Mm-hmm. Is we went to this Legion M. Legion M party at, I mean, it was like a party, but it's also like they did like a Q&A, which we could not get into. It was too packed out. Elijah Wood was there, who produced this film with Legion M's help that stars Nicolas Cage called Mandy, which is a horror film. Mm-hmm. That we did not go see. We did not get to see. And then who stopped by? There were some musicians that stopped by. Was it?
Oh.
At the beginning.
Neon Tree.
I must have missed
something. That was part of it. There were some musicians that, like, well, we didn't get in until later.
But we did see Nick Cage hanging off the balcony. Not hanging off the balcony.
He was not waving, hanging off.
No, he was waving to people. He was,
It would have been better if he was hanging off.
Yeah. It would have been much better.
Yeah. Like a monkey, just one arm. Like,
he seemed very gracious, actually.
Yeah, no. I mean, everyone there was cool. And Legion M, I just love conceptually, like, what they're trying to do with these fan-backed movies.
The stories that the co-founder, Paul Scanlon, had about the community and how the community comes together around these things, the stories that he had about people even reaching out to help
bring Sundance together with the, remember the juice story that you had? And the,
right. Yeah. Well, it was, it's not like,
it's just, it's, yeah.
We're used to crowdfunding, right? Which is like yeah. people like, I'll contribute a little money to this movie.
But you always say about crowdsourcing, what do you say?
What do I say?
Yeah. What do you say? Mm-hmm. You always say like Kickstarter is how much money do you like me?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot I said that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much money do you like me? But like, this is different because actually they, you get an equity stake. So you are investing in the movie. You have the potential to actually make money. And the average person, they said that like, you don't have to actually contribute money to the movies. You can just register on Legion M. But now it sounds like I'm doing a commercial for them. But they were saying that like,
no, 90- but it was really fascinating. I mean, there were the some of the people that were there from the community and the way they talked about the place.
Yeah.
They were
and some quite of the people, a passion for I don't know. Some of the people might be a little, there were a couple of people that seemed a little off to me, but, yeah. but like, but they're in, I, in, when I, they're invested in the success of the project, not just from a financial standpoint, because the average investment is like $100. Everyone gives, it's like 90 or 95% of their 20,000 people in their community give $100 average. But oh my God, it was a great collection of people that are legit.
One of the more interesting statistics, you talked about people that could just subscribe but not donate. He said that 90% of those people end up donating money at some point later. So yeah, that was a pretty fascinating statistic.
Yeah, so it's a community they can constantly reach out to. It's not like just Kickstarter where it's a one-time thing. But in any case, but it was a really interesting mix of like people in indie film who I knew, and then just like, I have no idea how you got into this party, what's going on. And oh my God, there was some just funny cast of characters. We met this one person, I don't want to go into detail, where she elaborated on a plan where she was going to do her own network and how radical this was.
What, a podcast network, a TV network?
She didn't even elaborate on what it was.
Pretty much it was like, yeah.
The thing is, it would have been the downward spiral of that scene from Swingers where Vince Vaughn talks to the woman and then she begins to continue to talk and talk and talk, and he realizes he's caught in this conversation and the music from Jaws begins to play. If you remember the scene,
one
I'm
of my
about,
favorite scenes of any movie.
It's a great scene, but like we got caught in maybe three conversations like that, which were kind of funny, but it was a really good group of people, and I met up with Theo Scheer, which I'm gonna explain what our evil plan is.
Oh God,
this was a funny. Okay, so. One of the things that I enjoy doing, which is a weird thing that only entertains me, is I like to make up a word. And when I say make up a word where no one, first of all, this is a total made up word, but use it in casual conversation all the time during an event like Sundance, hoping that by the time the event is over, that other people start using the word. So the word we came up with was jimp, J-I-M-P. And it's like, dude, that is so jimp. Or that I am so jimping out right now. That is jimped up. So we just started doing that. And it's like, we just agreed that what we're going to do is no matter what we're doing, we're in line for a movie. We are, you know, talking to people. We're at a restaurant. We're getting coffee. Whatever it is, we will work into normal conversation jimp. It means nothing. We made up this is a stupid thing.
Get it trending on Twitter, people.
Yeah. Hashtag jimp. That's so jimp.
How do you spell it?
J-I-M-P. That's what you'll do. So yeah. So as a first night, it was kind of quiet. I feel like you guys, I mean, we're like exhausted, but see, here's the one thing I was, as we're walking back to the car, we went to Main Street Pizza and Noodle to kind of end the night. You guys went there. Mm-hmm. And we're walking back and I'm like, guys, it's Thursday. If you're tired now and it's Thursday, it goes for, and I have stayed like almost the full time with Sundance, but most people go like first weekend or second weekend, or you'll like go for 7 days, but it's Thursday. There are many days left to go.
Chris, all I fucking need, man, is like 3 hours
of sleep.
That's all I need.
Let's do it right after the podcast.
That. Yeah.
Let's do it after the podcast.
I would love that, man. Dude, I've been to conventions. I know all about all the walking and stuff like that.
But that's actually maybe you need to do more walking because you would have more energy, right?
We walked all the way from the Eccles to Park Avenue.
Cool, cool. Like, what'd you think of the Eccles? What'd you think of the Eccles?
Just thought that's what you guys were. Right, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. We were looking for it.
Okay, wait, so what'd you think of the Eccles? Like you guys' first time
it
in the theater?
Smelled really nice. Like,
why'd you say it smells nice?
Because it did. It smelled like it had this weird smell that was just very appealing. It's a beautiful theater.
It is beautiful, and it had... And there was a good energy there with the crowd.
They're kind of pumped, like opening night.
Yeah.
And the movie is pretty funny at moments, so it was a good vibe. I just
so
damn tired.
I think if it was any other movie, like I would have been a lot better. Well, there is so much repetition.
But it sounds like it was well executed.
Yeah.
It was well performed. It was probably even well directed. But
the intention
it sounds like
was to get that out of you.
Right, yeah.
It's by Tamara Jenkins, and her last movie was 10 years ago. I don't think she's done anything since The Savages with Philip Seymour Hoffman and Laura Linney. Mm. And I think that's a much superior and sharper movie. But I mean,
not every life drama is meant for the screen, right?
Right. Yeah,
And that's exactly right. That's
context.
What I'm hearing, right?
Maybe it should be a TV show or it could be a short film.
Clinic, like
there might be some people that resonate.
It resonates with him. Yeah, the same doctors in every scenes, and it's just like we've seen them, you know, be let down before. We've seen them, you know, have false hope before. And it just seems like it's too much. And it's like, you know, we feel for the characters and we're supposed to.
But it's not
that,
building to, like, it's like,
yeah.
It's not like it's Wonderful Life or something where it's building to this, like, redemption, you know, like people coming to the rescue or something, you know.
It tries to leave us on this, like, ambiguous ending.
It's straight up the independent film version of the Inception ending. I'll tell you guys what it is afterwards.
Well, don't ruin it on the show.
I'm not going to.
But you're right. Those. I'm not a fan of ambiguous endings. I don't mind like there being like, oh, there's more to the story, or it leaves me wanting more. But to not actually be decisive and make a choice, I think is weak.
Usually in those cases, like when it's satisfying, that there's some there may not be resolution necessarily. You know, but the character goes through some arc and comes out changed in some way or whatever.
And I like endings that you can go back and forth. I mean, the greatest show ever made, The Sopranos. Look at that crazy ending.
Well, Sopranos is epic.
Still being talked about that ending to this day. So I like endings like that. Sometimes this was
well, No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, there's a difference between putting your own conclusion and kind of like creating your own scenario, and just like the filmmaker just completely dicking with you.
Yeah, it was too obvious of an ending. Mm-hmm. I thought
exactly. That's what I told you.
Yeah.
Well, the Sopranos ending to me is great. I mean, my interpretation. He got whacked. He got whacked. That's what happens.
That's the most interesting.
It's the most interesting, and just the way it's played. Like, I love everyone's. Well, we could talk about that quite a bit.
I mean, been talking about it since like 2006 or
right? Exactly. yeah. It's crazy. Okay, so let's go around the horn here. And what is the best thing? Tell me the best thing of your first day and the worst thing. Let's start with you, Matthew.
Best thing, I finally went to the Eccles, which I've always heard about. Cool. And the best thing, also going to bed.
Okay. Is there any worst thing? Maybe there isn't a worst thing. Cool.
Sitting on an airplane.
All right. Tom, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing a film or two, but I mean, for a first day experience, I mean, just kind of taking in the atmosphere and getting out to a couple of parties was amazing. I mean, and the networking seems to be living up to the, you know, what we'd hoped.
I just always go with no expectations.
Yeah. I mean, no worse things at all. I mean, it was great.
Yeah. No one has a worse thing. I don't have a worse thing.
No, you didn't even ask me.
Oh, no. I'm saving you for last.
Oh, wait a minute.
I'm saving you for that. Oh, wait,
the
worst thing.
The network.
Oh,
the
condo. Yeah, the worst thing may have been oh my God, like just
and
this.
The door that locked us out.
Right, the door. Yeah, okay, yeah.
That was a
trouble.
You're
trouble getting in the condo.
Number.
But like any worst thing that you could say right now is like, if that is the worst thing, it's a great first day. And Anthony, what was your best thing about the first day at Sundance?
The best thing, hands down, was just interacting with people in line. Like talking to movie fans.
Who did you talk to?
I struck up a really nice conversation with a couple who just celebrated the birth of their grandson, Joe and Cheryl. And they just struck up a conversation. We talked about film. We talked about life. We talked about skiing. They love skiing the mountain. It was just cool. Like, it was just, you know.
So these are just patrons, not like necessarily industry people or just people locals.
They're just regular.
Just locals that are here for the film.
Regular locals.
That's awesome.
They bought tickets, but it's just, it was the vibe. Like, everybody had that vibe going on. You go to conventions, you, like, even I felt it at AFI Film Festival. People were pissed off about being in the line. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't speak to the wait list because I had a ticket. But
the volunteers kept a good energy down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. And we
the volunteers at
yeah,
Sundance are
to
great.
The volunteers, they were all awesome to us.
Yeah,
they did what they could to help us. But that was my favorite. You know, the theater was beautiful. I loved sitting in the theater, and like I said, I can't describe the smell accurately, but it was just a very pleasant smell. It had a pleasant smell. But I just loved talking with people about film, and that's what I love doing. And
that is kind of actually the best part about mm-hmm. Sundance overall is like, because I guarantee you, when you're at the AMC at Downtown Disney and you're waiting in line, you're probably not going to be talking to people and getting all chatty in line. Although I will say this, I kind of do that
before. Though.
I'll do that, but that's pretty much just me in any situation. Is I get chatty with whoever.
You're chatty Kathy.
I'm a chat. Like if I'm in line at the grocery store, I'm chatty. I will comment on someone's bananas, but I don't know. I like to be friendly to people. You never know.
See, I don't. And
that's okay. That's your choice.
But I recently, when I saw the Florida Project, mm-hmm. I walked out. I don't know if anybody saw that.
Yeah,
I walked out and I just turned around to the people. I'm like, "What was that ending?"
Oh yeah, yeah.
So that was in a regular theater. The one time I did that.
Yeah. All right. So I guess this is the Sundance will continue. Tune in the next day for the next episode. And Anthony, you need to go to bed.
Yeah, I need to go to bed.
Movie start 9 a.m.
It's time for me to catch some Z's.
I can feel the low energy of people listening going like, I don't know if I'm going to listen to the next episode. I guarantee next episode is going to be the greatest episode ever.
Let's not sell them on the greatest. It's going to be good. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be amazing.
Anthony will have had coffee.
But
all right.
Best. We've had some good episodes, Chris.
I don't know about that. All right. All right. Let's get out of here.